The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tampa Bay, it is the Tampa Bay Bucs.
The Lightning,
and then Naked Island. That's
Excuse
how they
me?
Roll.
Where's that at?
It's called Passage
why,
Key.
Wait, why is
Naked
they
Island?
Just go there. It's international
why?
Water.
Hold up.
It was a sandbar created by the hurricane.
Frank!
Hey, honey! Hey!
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking! We're going up through the quad to the gymnasium.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And everyone goes there and they're
naked.
When you say everyone.
That's number three behind the Buccaneers in the damn hockey team?
400
Wait,
to 500
did you get
boats?
Naked?
No, I don't.
How'd you stack up?
There's some people there that shouldn't get naked.
Who's streaking?
There's more coming.
Frank, get in the car.
Everybody's doing it.
Now.
Hey, ladies.
Hey, Frank.
Hey.
Looks like it's a little cold out there, huh?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Certainly appreciate that David Bakhtiari has stepped into the role of I will fill your microphones with things. I will take on that responsibility. David Bakhtiari on the Rich Eisen show yesterday saying nice things. He must have known that it was National Say Nice Things Day. Yesterday was National Say Nice Things Day.
Mm-hmm.
About Jordan Love. Let's hear from David Bakhtiari right away. Let's get right into it. Let's not waste any time hearing from David Bakhtiari.
I think the biggest thing is the control. The control and demeanor in the huddle from his, like, from being back here from the beginning of the organized team activities.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to go in and out of the different checks, not stumbling over the words of all the vernacular of our play calls, and to really manipulate and go at a more of a advanced level of playing the game at quarterback. Because I think there's a rudimentary level where it's like, I get the play, I have only one check, and that is what I do. And there's also the game within the game that we talk about and preach, and the longer you play, you kind of can pick that up. Seeing him, you know, really having the full reins of the team and having that control, that's been the one big thing I've seen. And the other thing is just, finally, you know, he's, when you are, not that he never was himself, but he was the backup for Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of know your role and own your role. Now that he is, you know, the starting quarterback, seeing him kind of showing everyone himself and being cool and confident in himself is the other awesome thing that I've seen, and I can't wait. But at the end, like, we're also talking, this is, you know, the first stage.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so there's only so much you can see. I've seen guys look like they're going to be all worlds in OTAs, and then they absolutely stink it up once the pads come on and when football really matters.
Bit of a David Bakhtiari giveth and David Bakhtiari taketh away. He says all these nice things, then he goes, however, might not be the best indicator of future success.
Maybe he's all Oneida.
That's basically
really
what he said.
Be bad.
He
if
is
your
in,
quarterback was all Oneida.
He is in suck up mode. Ooh, baruba.
For Jordan, he's sucking up to Jordan.
No, someone pulled him in. See, I thought it might have been Stenovich. It might have been someone above him now and said, knock it off. You need to be the leader here. Stop saying that stuff. And now he's...
Yeah, but he kind of hedges still at the end.
He does, but he can't help it. No, he's in suck-up mode. I love it.
I don't know. I don't know if he's sucking suck-up mode.
I've been in suck-up mode. I know what suck-up mode is. Yes.
The last time you were in suck-up mode.
I told the media about my neck and Holmgren went crazy. So I had to go in suck-up mode.
I thought there was a different suck-up mode, but...
Oh, at home? That's every day. Yes.
You're
it was last night,
looking.
Matter of fact.
I'm unattractive. I do like this concept of Jordan Love being this mechanism that can bring the team together. But I also love that he recognizes the change in the dynamic. This is true for any place where there is a transition of the person in the leadership role, right? Jordan Love has been there for 3 years, and he has probably been his most authentic self as the backup, right? We all know our roles, and he probably stepped into that role and held it very well. But when you become the guy, the starter, the heir apparent, it shifts a little bit. Like, you don't change at a DNA level, but you change the way you carry yourself a little bit. You certainly change how you're interacting with people. And I like that Bakhtiari is recognizing that, that as Aaron Rodgers has departed and left this hole to fill, Jordan has sort of filled it. Like what's the word I'm looking for? Where you, like, you don't get bigger, but you just, like, take up more space.
The puppy was getting... bigger.
But the puppy was a dog.
Why don't we hear from him?
We heard from Jordan last week.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, but if this was Aaron, you'd hear from him every day.
We didn't hear from him this week, right?
Correct.
There was something about that where we just didn't hear from him this week. Do you understand what I'm saying about the changing of the role, the shifting of the dynamic? So all of the pieces may have been there for him to be, you know, whomever he was, who's going to be. But you kind of keep him a little hidden. Because it's not your job. It's not your role, right? That's not the requirement. But once it is the requirement, then you're like, okay, I can kind of unroll these aspects of my personality that this job requires.
There's more freedom. Like, there's more responsibility, but there's kind of more freedom to step up and be yourself. I'm sure you went through that, Chew. Like, as you worked up, you had Eddie West, and you had Jackie Harris. You had guys
who were... Yeah, you come out of your shell.
Yeah. You had guys who were in front of you, and as you just kind of figured out your way, you figured out how you... the individual fit into everything and just became more confident. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like he's just kind of getting his confidence underneath him.
I don't think he likes dealing with the media.
Jordan?
That's why we're seeing so much Bakhtiari. I don't think he's comfortable with it. And that's why I think, because Bakhtiari's been everywhere taking the lead.
Or if you're the Packers, do you really want Jordan Love talking to the media that much?
What do we know about him?
But I'm just saying... Yeah, do your weekly whatever that you have to once the season starts. But do you think they really want Jordan doing weekly, you know, doing a hit on Rich Eisen, going on the Pat McAfee show? They probably don't want those things for him. They just want him to hate.
Yeah, but I go back.
Work your way into this before you start doing all those media hits where David Bakhtiari, somebody who's a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, go do whatever you got
to do. But I go back to 92 when they traded for Brett and Mikowski was the starter. People were still more interested in Brett than they were Mikowski.
Well, yeah, because he gave up a first round. Like, he was the quarterback of the future. Like, he was clearly Ron Wolf's guy.
So
this was a guy.
Jordan, though, but I just don't think Jordan likes dealing with the media. I don't think that's his deal, which is fine. A lot of guys don't.
And also, Mikowski wasn't, you know, a Super Bowl champion and four-time MVP and polarizing as Aaron is.
No, but they had that one good year in, what, 90?
89.
When they went 10-6?
89, yes, 1989.
Put him to the forefront?
Yes.
I don't want to undermine your position, Chu, but what is the percentage of football players that do like dealing with the media?
The percentage of people that do? That's small.
So that's why I don't know.
20%?
I don't know if we can sit there and, like, say Jordan Love doesn't like dealing with the media, therefore he's not going to. I'm more in Gabe's camp on this, that right now the Packers, and again, no one's saying that this has been a decree that they have put out there for the QB, but I'm more with Gabe of, like, right now, let's focus on football, focus on progressions, focus on install, focus on all of these other things, chemistry and timing and whatnot, and we'll get to the media thing. People are going to be clamoring to hear from Jordan Love whenever that time is. Right now is not that time. Yesterday, Christian Watson also talked to the media. Maybe he likes talking to the media, so he did it. But Christian Watson, and Josh, do we have the Christian Watson sound? Otherwise, I'll summarize it.
Summarize for me.
Christian Watson said that they are not rebuilding. So Christian Watson comes out.
He's in his second year in the league. What does he know about a rebuild?
What do you mean, what does he know about a rebuild?
He doesn't know what rebuilding and what... He doesn't know what any of that is.
Yeah, they don't know anything. They're dumb.
See?
You don't really get smart
when
until
you
your third
are
or fourth
young,
year.
They assume you know nothing. I believe Taylor Swift sings that. So I guess you guys subscribe to that belief, huh? So you have the Christian Watson sound. All right, let's hear from Christian Watson. Asked about the R word at camp this week.
It's easy to say that, you know, they lost, you know, Aaron. It's going to be, you know, a down year or whatever.
I feel like that's just the easy route to take. But I mean, that's none of our mentality in here. You know, we're never trying to, you know, think of it as, you know, a rebuild or whatever people want to, you know, say it is. And we're, you know, our goal each and every year is to, you know, win the North and you know, make the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. So regardless of, you know, who's leaving and who's coming in, I that's our number one goal. And I think that we're attacking every single day with that mentality as well.
This seems to be a pretty universal thing coming out of a lot of guys. And again, if Bakhtiari isn't so adamantly on the other side of it saying it is a rebuild, double down on rebuild, I don't know if it's a thing. But since you have these opposing viewpoints, Gabe, there's a part of me that's like, why haven't we nipped this in the bud? Why haven't we nipped the debate about the rebuild in the bud in the locker room?
I mean, because guys are lying to themselves.
I think it's coming from up top. They have
but
no
where idea. Up top? Because LaFleur's the one saying, hey, let's pump the brakes on expectations.
Yeah.
He's not using the rebuild word, but he's saying, let's pump the brakes on expectations.
Well, someone got, had to be LaFleur that got to Bakhtiari, because he's pivoted. Obviously, this is a trigger word for him. I mean, these young guys are young, dumb, and full of shaving cream, feel nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always feel clean.
What is that?
You never heard of that before?
No.
I have.
Have you?
Yes, but then I'm afraid it makes
see me
old.
And Jen, no.
Well, I mean, we've already established.
Because we're veterans.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah.
You guys are youngsters. These young guys, they have no idea. They're just robots. LaFleur says this, hey, I don't want to hear rebuild. Okay. Not going to say rebuild.
But that doesn't
even
apply
they know
to
it's
David
a rebuild.
Bakhtiari, 31-ish, 31-year-old David Bakhtiari. That doesn't apply to him. Because I do think that Gabe makes an interesting point about David Bakhtiari's truth serum. On one hand, it does benefit us. It does benefit the fans. Why, Gabe?
Well, because when he says something good about Jordan Love, like I don't think he's just blowing smoke up my keister, right? Like
shaving
feels nice and clean.
Because I know this is a dude that wants to step up and tell the truth. Whereas when Aaron Jones says it or Christian Watson says it, well, they're just towing the company line.
Yes, that's what they're doing.
You know, they're towing the company line. Ooh, Jordan Love looks really good. Ooh, Jordan. So when David Bakhtiari goes, hey, these are the things, and he, and the thing I like about Dave in the clip that he had from the Rich Eisen show yesterday is he's really specific. You know, everything else has just been kind of generic of, oh, yeah, he's looked really good. He's looked really good. Well, here are the specific reasons why I think Jordan has felt comfortable or looked better or just had a command of the huddle during OTAs. Like, he's really specific in the examples that he gives, which to me makes the praise that he put on Jordan Love more credible than, I mean, you can take the Aaron Jones and the Christian Watson and the Romeo Doubs and the other guys who have stepped up and said really nice things about Jordan Love. I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just saying that David Bakhtiari, and especially with the specific examples, and we know he's a dude that wants to speak the truth, I hold that opinion in higher regard.
But Holmgren controlled our narrative a lot when it came to the media. He team meeting early on, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. Don't be doing this. Yeah, they controlled it.
Did you ever mess up?
Well, injuries.
The neck?
What's the big deal?
Competitive advantage.
That's so stupid.
Oh, you told people that you had an injury that your coaches didn't want people to know about? Cool.
Yeah.
Let's hear again from David Bakhtiari, because I think Gabe makes another good point about detailing some of the things, as opposed to a generic, he's looked better or he's progressing. He went through some very specific things he has seen from Jordan Love that I think should make fans excited about the way this, the direction this guy is going.
David, I think the biggest thing is the control. The control and demeanor in the huddle from his, like, from being back here from the beginning of the organized team activities, his ability to go in and out of the different checks, not stumbling over the words of all the vernacular of our play calls, and to really manipulate and go at a more of a advanced level of playing the game at quarterback. Because I think there's a rudimentary level where it's like, I get the play, I have only one check, and that is what I do.
Yeah, where Aaron was, I got to be smarter than LaFleur, so I'm not going to check to what he wants. I'm going to check to what I want. That's the refreshing thing that'll
But again, it's just it doesn't matter to me what the examples are. It's just more specific than the overall, we believe in Jordan.
Yeah, I know. But
you know what I'm saying?
I get it, because what's he going to say? The dude's not very good. I just have to sit here and say that he is.
But he's saying that because he has been truthful about other things that people bristle at, which is, you know, to talking about the rebuilding, Gabe is more likely to take what he says here.
Like, that's to me.
What's the word? Not honestly, but you're taking it seriously. You're taking it more seriously now because he's been honest at other things when he didn't have to be.
He's not going to just stand up there and toe the company line.
It's like,
and
LaFleur, what you were talking about.
He hedges at the end. He doesn't give a rip what anybody thinks.
But it's like what you're talking about with LaFleur after they drafted him and he gave the fist pump. What's he supposed to do? Throw his arms up and go, what a dumb pick. He's got to do. You have to do certain things. You have to sell it.
But I mean,
from
what
the organization wants.
But you don't have to go into specifics.
You don't have to go into specifics. I don't think he can help it. You know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he can help it. He is a habitual truth teller.
Yeah.
Dude just is addicted to telling his truth. And this is a part of it, which is a good thing for if you're tracking the progress of Jordan Love, this is a good thing. He is passing step one. Step two is now being the starter with the pads on during training camp, joint practices. And then if he passes that, then you feel good heading into the regular season. These are all like just different.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He has no idea.
This is like the 101. Then you get 201. Then you actually get to play as the starter in the regular season. That's like 301.
What the hell are you talking about?
Okay.
What's 101?
He tried to use
is that the room?
The most remedial.
Is that the room?
That's what I looked at. I'm like, 101.
Stages/levels of college courses. I think it's like 001. 001?
Yeah, I started at 101. I mean, I figured
you're bad.
Is that like
right
a core
to
class?
Junior level courses.
Too hard.
How much did
I'm
you do school?
Did you just skip every class?
Core as in like abs?
What was your major?
I don't know.
He's about to plank on us. I'll show you a core class.
I did take one. Well, I'm not going to go there. I can't get into trouble anymore, can I?
No. Statute of limitations. It's long gone.
Went to one class. I went twice and got an A. You know what the name of it was? I remember it to this day. Wonder if they still offer it. Gauss Faust.
What is that?
I don't know. I got an A.
In Gauss Faust.
Gauss Faust.
You had two classes.
You did it twice?
Well, I went for the midterm. Is that what they're called?
You would have thought at the first class you would have learned what Gauss meant, and at the second class you would have learned what Faust meant at the very least.
What is Gauss Faust?
I don't know. This is the first I am hearing of this. Well, you're the one who went to the class twice.
No idea. Got an A.
Still got an A. It's the important part.
Looks like it's a poem. It's a poem, a play. It's a play. Faust. It's a tragic play in two parts by Johann Wolfgang von Gauss. I think. I don't know.
Okay.
We got Jason Wilde coming up next. One thing I want to ask him about is now that June 1st has passed, guys, is there any chance the Packers trade David Bakhtiari? We know that there is incentive to do so after June 1st. Is there any chance that they would trade him and then have to shuffle that offensive line? We'll ask Jason Wilde that right after this game.
Change the way you do business and take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for you and your business. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
You know, I am a play the high side of caution, as Mike McCarthy used to say, guy, but the guy's got to play. He needs the work in game. So it's an interesting dilemma that they're going to face come this summer.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill, nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District. Enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
We love checking in with our pal, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing on this Friday?
Yeah, I'm not great.
Not great? No, what's going on?
Well, I want to make sure that I use the right term here, Gabe. Slides, not flip-flops, right?
Slides, yes, sir.
Woke up and someone had peed in one of my slides. Now, I don't want to cast any aspersions or unfairly accuse anyone. I don't think it was Madison or Sydney.
Fair.
I don't think it was Stella or Sadie, the dogs. I think it was a cat. And unfortunately, we have too many cats for me to accurately accuse anyone. So it's a mystery that will remain unsolved. It'll be on Unsolved Mysteries. But not the start to the day that I was looking for. I left them in the hallway, and, you know, it's my fault because it made them available for that. But, yeah, pee in your slide, not the way you want to start the day.
You're throwing those out, right?
No, wash them off.
right? I'm not throwing them out.
No.
No.
Why do cats? Do cats leave their mark like dogs?
I think they do. I don't know what prompts this. This is not, quite frankly, it's not the first time it's happened. But they're the kind of rubbery type that rinse off easily, and then I'll disinfect them, etc. So I don't need to throw them out, Gabe, even though I know you would. But yeah, I don't know why this sort of thing happens. I don't know what I did to, dare I say, piss them off. That they
you won't get athlete's foot.
I don't know if that's true for cat urine.
I don't know. I thought that's what contributed to athlete's foot.
No, that's how you cure it.
No, that is a wives tale.
That is not. Well, then Pepper T. Burris has been wrong for all these years.
Are you
Jason.
Trying to tell me Pepper's been having people whiz on their feet when they get athlete's foot?
When I first got there, they had the Ray Nitschke, Jerry Kramer pump that you stood on, Jason. Do you remember those? And they would spray.
I'm not familiar with this.
They would spray, I don't know what they would spray, all over your feet, and then they got away with it.
I'm guessing it wasn't Whiz.
No, it was. It's like, but it was an aerosol can. It was can't have aerosol anymore.
Aerosol urine.
Yes. I did not know. And then I swear available. They said, go pee on them.
The University of South California did a study and said, no, it probably does not work.
Wasn't there a baseball player?
Moises Alou, he peed on his hands to harden them so he didn't have to wear batting gloves. Ugh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like you never peed on your hand.
Yeah, but not on purpose.
Not on purpose. I'm not sitting there like rinsing them like I'm washing them. Like, ooh, got to get that urine nice and deep in there.
Yeah, it was more like a country concert when I had to stand between the two doors of the car as the line to the porta potty was long. I think that's what it was. Jason, it is June 2nd, and we are talking about David Bakhtiari. He was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday saying nice things. It was National Say Nice Things Day about Jordan Love. I'm not saying that's why he was saying the nice things. I'm just saying it is a pretty coincidence. June 2nd obviously opens up a conversation about potentially trading David Bakhtiari. Is that still a thing the Packers could do? Should they? Would they?
Yeah, I definitely don't think that they're looking to do that. And, you know, it was interesting in talking with him at his locker. You know, I actually, and I think I'm not the only one, who went into that thinking with his criticism of the social media team's schedule release video and everything else. Is this guy trying to get himself fired? I think Gabe and I, we talked about this at the time too, the George Costanza driving around the parking lot with the World Series trophy attached to his bumper. You know, I think there's definitely frustration there of being the last man standing from the old guard, literally the only last man standing, right? I mean, the other two guys that are older on this team were guys that arrived much later than David Bakhtiari did. And so he's kind of like all of his friends moved away and he's still living in the same neighborhood. So I definitely think there's a frustration there. I think, you know, when you look at this team, and I'll say this, I respect the hell out of him because the easiest thing to do, and Lord knows I've heard enough players do this, is to have said something where they spoke their mind and spoke honestly and they got pushback for it. And so they caved and walked it back. And oftentimes in an unconvincing, they're making me do this kind of manner. And he didn't do it. He didn't. He stood by the word rebuild, which, you know, he's got other teammates in his locker room claiming that that's not what they're doing. And look, this is not a team. He used the Seattle Seahawks. We talked about this yesterday. You know, he used the Seattle Seahawks as the example, but you know, I don't think anybody thought the Seahawks were winning the Super Bowl last year. And David talked about it. Like he arrived in 13. Like he missed the Super Bowl window. He was on this team in 14, in 16, in 19, and in 20. Obviously, he had the injury right before the stretch run of the 20 season, but he was on the precipice of getting to Super Bowls, and he never got there. And if you're him and you're looking at where this roster is, do you think you're going to win a Super Bowl before you're done here? No. So, you know, maybe he could have done it in a more constructive manner, but I think, you know, you get on a Barstool podcast and you start to riff a little bit. But I applaud him for standing on what he said because I frankly agree with him. But I think now we have a better understanding of where he was coming from. I do think he got a talking to from the higher-ups. He wouldn't answer that question, which is a tacit admission that he got a talking to. But I don't think he's going to be a malcontent necessarily. I do think that he's going to give a I don't give a you know what kind of attitude in terms of speaking his mind this year. And I think there's probably going to be another instance or two, especially if there are some struggles, where he's going to say things that are unvarnished truth and it's going to piss some people off. So I think the reason that they brought him back is because they think he's the one guy that when it comes to a position of importance was important enough to move the money around to give Jordan Love protection. Because if you look at Matt Schneidman's article and in my opinion, the excuse making that Goody made by saying we didn't have a good game plan for him in Kansas City, the question in Kansas City was that they didn't protect Jordan Love well enough. Well, one way you can help his chances is by making sure that your five-time All-Pro is lined up at left tackle.
Jason, I saw Leslie Frazier was in the building last week. What was that all about?
Probably bringing him in so he can be next year's defensive coordinator.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, so he was doing this. You know, they had this symposium for coaches of color. And Greg Williams, who is not the crazy guy that had the bounties, but the Packers' defensive passing game coordinator, was an incredible story. Like, he played in, like, the indoor football league for a while after his NFL career was over, and he didn't know what he wanted to do with himself, and he decided to get into coaching because the local, like, YMCA was looking for youth coaches to coach like flag football or basketball. And the flyer was on his car window. So he was the Packers representative at it. And apparently Leslie Frazier was at this too. And so Leslie Frazier has been to a couple of other teams or I think the Commanders are another one. Like he's taking the year off, which I think was because Buffalo didn't want him back as their defensive coordinator, frankly. But there's a guy with a ton of experience, some really good ideas. Maybe he comes on staff if he decides he still wants to coach this year in some capacity as one of those special advisors. But, you know, they lost a really experienced veteran coach in Jerry Gray, who I think did not do a great job of hiding the fact that he didn't necessarily like some of the things that were being done by the defensive coordinator. And having been a defensive coordinator himself, he probably would have liked to have done things differently. So I think they might be in the market for kind of that other veteran voice on that side of the ball in their hopes of not being a disappointment on that side of the ball like they have been in the last couple of years.
Do you think that's ultimately going to be a good or a bad thing that you don't have Jerry Gray pushing back there and trying to make, because there was a clear disconnect between the defensive backs and their specific coach and the defensive coordinator last year, Jason?
Yeah, I don't want to have any preconceived notions about Greg Williams, so I want to make sure I'm being fair to him. But at the same time, I mean, Jerry Gray, man, like they hired him, and I just happened to be going through like a box of like old baseball and football cards I had, and there was Jerry Gray with the gigantic shoulder pads you guys used to wear. And there's a guy who was a four-time Pro Bowl player. Like they called him OG, you know, the original gangster. Because all those guys respected the hell out of him. And you could tell, as Gabe points out, that there wasn't probably the same level of respect in the room, at least in that cornerback's room, as there was for him, that there wasn't there for Joe Barry. And that's part of that disconnect. So I guess, Gabe, the answer to that question is maybe it doesn't cause a problem because now there's a little more of a uniform voice. But I would think that anytime you lose somebody of that level of experience, it's not a good thing.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We got to move on. We got Craig Karmazin coming up next. But have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch, right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 9 to noon here on ESPN Milwaukee. We're going to get to Craig Karmazin right after this. He has some thoughts, some strong thoughts, on what is going on in Green Bay. And, of course, we got to ask him about what the heck is going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. That's next.
Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee. Of course, it's only at the Jewelry Center. It's what I did. It's where I went for the engagement ring for my wife. It's where I got our wedding bands coming up on the one-year anniversary of that. And what's great about the Jewelry Center is you can browse their online inventory. You can go in. If you don't even have a clue, take a look at her Pinterest board. Take it in to the great team that Dean has assembled at the Jewelry Center in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, and they will be able to help you to make sure you get the perfect ring for the perfect occasion. Learn more about their diamond jewelry selection at shoptjc.com or stop in at one of those three locations in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. The best place to shop diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee, it's only at the Jewelry Center.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit?
Gotten?
A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I keep my side of the street clean. You wouldn't know what I mean. Karma is my boyfriend.
Perfect song for Craig Karmazin. Karma is a god. Karma is a cat. Karma is our boss. He is Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I feel like you guys breezed over something that is really important to go back to.
Well, that's why we have you here. So you can let
Chewy,
us know.
Yeah.
I feel like for the last 30 years, Chewy has believed that they were spraying Ray Nitschke and Jerry Kramer's urine on
Can you confirm or deny, Chew?
That's why the G stands for greatness. Where else are you getting that greatness?
Made three
Craig?
Pro Bowls, must rub off. Huh? Works
Chewy,
for me.
What? When you said, like, what did you think was in the bottle? You said they had a bottle of Jerry Kramer and
no,
and
I said the machine was from the 60s. It had the little hydraulic pump on it, and when you went up and down, it would open the aerosol can, and it would, pss. I don't know what it was, but I never got athlete's foot when I used that thing.
Yep. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Have you ever had athlete's foot?
Not bad. I think maybe a little bit here and there, like at a basketball camp or, like, you know, long week of a lot of stuff.
How'd you get
probably,
rid of it?
But nothing too bad. Don't remember.
Boom! Tough acting, ten acting.
At the pool. You can get it at the pool. Like the pool deck, it just being moist and wet, and if having the fungus, you can get that on your feet. I've had it before.
But athlete's foot?
Yeah.
And how'd you get rid of it?
Just put some medication on it, some creams,
boom,
and gels.
Tough acting, ten acting. Yeah.
Is he paying you? Are you getting paid by Tenactin?
Do they keep shilling? I don't even know if Tenactin's still
around. Is jock itch still a thing?
I mean, I don't think too many people wear jocks anymore.
I don't think
for the record, I've never had jock itch. That was the next inevitable question. If you were about to ask me that, I have never had that. Craig, we've been talking about David Bakhtiari over here. And look, I as I said the other day, I do not want to villainize him. I do not want to make it seem like I think he's a bad dude, because I do not think that. I do think, though, he could be a little more consistent with his messaging. And I think he's breaking a social code a little bit by not
forget
recognizing
social code. He's got to be gone. He's got to be gone. He can't be on this team.
Why?
Get him off this team immediately. Right? I mean, so I was listening to your show, and if I were a Packers fan, and, you know, I am, you know, rooting for the Bears to win the division this year, so I'll put my cards on the table. But, I mean, you have a guy who is theoretically your leader, right? Your veteran guy who's been there the longest, saying, I'm going to show up for as many things as I have to get paid, and then I'm not going to come to any of them. That's like one of our leaders in the company saying, I'm going to use all my sick days, even if I'm not sick. Like that. And so what? So that the younger players can hope that one day they could be a star so that they don't have to show up? I mean, how do you build a culture that way? How do you try to instill what you want in your younger players if your veteran leaders are saying, no, not only do I not want to over-deliver, I'm going to do the minimum that I have to and spend the least possible time around the rest of the team to help them. I mean, that is insane.
So you're not allowed to use vacation? Like, that's, I don't think it's him using the sick days. I think it's him using his vacation days.
But say it is sick days, but hold on, Craig, because he's one of the best players on the team. I had a rule when I coached kids in football. I said, if you miss practice, you're not playing in the game unless you're good.
But nobody is saying, here's what I went back to yesterday. Nobody's saying you can't
do
that, Craig.
But if you care that deeply about winning.
It's articulating it that I have the issue with. It's articulating it. Again, everybody says, okay, how many sick days do I have? How many vacation days do I have? Okay, I manipulate the calendar and work this way. But it's him actually saying it into the microphone so that it would be picked up by everybody and certainly would be heard by the younger players in the clubhouse, in the locker room, rather.
Yeah, and to me, that's not... It's not necessary. Right now, your biggest thing you can get this year, right, is a first-round pick from the Jets. So yes. What you need to do is make sure Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt. So whatever you need to do to put Bakhtiari protecting Aaron Rodgers, if you get a third-round pick, it's no cap hit for the Jets. The Packers have to pay him either way. Just get him to the Jets for a second or third-round 2025 pick. Have him protect Aaron Rodgers. Get the Packers a first-round pick. And get him out of here because he doesn't want to be here.
No.
Just like Aaron Rodgers didn't want to come to the OTAs, David Bakhtiari doesn't. But all of a sudden, when Aaron wants to win, he wants to go to the OTAs. And I would bet you if he was in New Jersey, he would want to go to the OTAs. So have him be somewhere where he wants to lead and not have him setting a negative culture for this team.
If he didn't vocalize it, how different would your opinion be?
I wouldn't know. I mean, I wouldn't know what his intentions were. But I wouldn't know his contract, and I wouldn't know what his incentives were. I probably would have thought, oh, you know what? He's showing up to the OTAs. Good job by him.
So you're gonna punish someone for being honest.
I'm going to punish someone for not. I mean, if my core value is over delivering, he clearly is not over delivering.
But one of the core values is also honesty, is it not?
Exactly. So it's great that he has one core value, but he doesn't have another.
But also, I think. In this instance,
we'll
the honesty led you to knowing his true colors. So again, you appreciate that he did say what his standard is, what his expectations are, how he plans on navigating this situation. But by doing that, he illuminated another part of his personality that Craig thinks is more detrimental to the locker room culture than beneficial.
But I guess
by the
my
way,
point.
I appreciate Dave,
yeah, but hold on.
The honesty.
If that's your point, then they should have got rid of Rodgers a while ago for some of the crap he said.
Not signed him to the
deal. You know? Go back to the Bills game when he said that offensive game plan was stupid. I mean, Craig, there is a balance between how talented a guy is in his mouth, isn't there?
I have no problem with the honesty. What I had, the only problem I had with Aaron Rodgers, I didn't have a problem with anything. I mean, even the COVID stuff, I could handle all of it. The only thing I didn't like that Aaron did was not show up to camps and to not work with the younger players. And,
so
and
would you have gotten
exactly
rid of him?
Now like... And that's exactly what Bakhtiari is. I would have absolutely talked to him and understood why he wasn't doing that. And if he wasn't committed to the organization, then I would have figured out the right exit. And by the way, to Gabe's point, the fact that Bakhtiari is honest, I appreciate. And that's why I'm not trying to ship him out to a negative place. Try to send him where he'll be happy and where he could help the Packers.
Yeah, but what if
he's
right?
He's going to be with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be with his former teammates. And he's going to help the Packers get a better draft pick. It's a win-win for everybody.
It's not a win for the Packers. Because
if they get a first-round pick?
They wouldn't get a first-round
He'll be protecting Rodgers, which would help Rodgers get to the 65%. Therefore, 65% of snaps play. Therefore, that
Bill,
turns into a first-round
pick.
Was it
Bill Huber that did the cap breakdown and said... After they restructured his deal, even though it's June 1, they're going to take a massive hit?
Well, they would take a hit, but the hit that they would take...
over 2 years.
The hit they would take this year, Chew, would not be bigger. They would actually save $2 million, I believe, this year on the cap number that he currently has.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically the Jets would only have to pay him $2.3 million, and the Packers would only save $2.3 million. And the Packers would have to pay $13 million to not have him, which who cares about this year, right? This year is you know, figuring out if Jordan Love can play.
Yeah, you would eat 19 this year, 19 next year.
So Craig is in the camp of get rid of David Bakhtiari. I want to pivot to the Bucks here, Craig, because we have been wondering, scratching our heads, trying to figure out why in the world the Bucks have not announced this hire. Why haven't we heard, or why haven't they put out a release saying that Adrian Griffin is their guy? And I will tell you this, this came to a head for me yesterday as I'm watching Nick Nurse over there fumble his way through answering questions about James Harden, because I guess I thought maybe they had to wait until the NBA Finals came to a conclusion before they could introduce any of these guys. So what's the holdup here with the Bucks?
I'm obviously not involved at all in any way, but no one has reported that he had a signed contract, right? The only reports were that the Bucks were the Bucks had decided on a coach and that they were, you know, negotiating a contract with him. So, you know, never do you see a press release or a press conference before you have a contract. So, I mean, this is the normal course of business. Right?
Yeah, but
I mean, this is how things normally work.
Is the Monty Williams throwing a little monkey wrench in this thing? I mean, he got a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. And Monty Williams was one of the more winning head coaches with a lot of experience, who's been to NBA Finals. I don't know that his resume compares. So, I have no knowledge of the situation other than reading the same things you've read, but just nothing I've read had said at any point that the Bucks had signed, you know, a contract with a head coach.
So could it blow up?
I doubt it.
What I'm saying is, at no point have I read anything that the Bucks have signed. I have no insight into the situation at all. And so, you know, until you see a signed contract, you don't know that there's a signed contract until a press conference is announced. It's just reporters reporting that the Bucks have decided on a coach, right? I don't think anyone has reported that they've signed a coach.
So since you've read the same things we did and you don't have any inside information, but do you feel the way I do that Chris Middleton's going to be a part of the future of this organization based on the reporting? I don't know if it was from Eric Name or if it was from Shams over at The Athletic, because it was a joint piece that they initially put out after they reported that Griffin was going to be the guy, that Chris Middleton was invited to a dinner with Horst and Giannis about, okay, who's it going to be? Kind of a last step. And based on Chris being a part of those conversations, I feel pretty good about Chris being involved in the organization going forward, even though he only has a player option right now.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about this, and I was with Jen on this, that I think that, you know, Chris has a player option. So, you know, whether he's going to be with the team or not moving forward is much more at this point his decision. So I think the whole organization, I would assume, would be operating under the auspices that he's been a champion player for the organization. He's been a model citizen in this community. He's been, you know, so impactful in so many ways behind the scenes. There's so many organizations that people reach out to me from. They're like, do you know Chris Middleton was here just like giving his time? And like, Chris has been just incredible for the organization and the community, so that as long as he's here, he's going to have a big voice and he's going to be respected the way he deserves to be respected. But I don't know that we could read anything into anything that's going to happen in next year's NBA year, you know, which starts in July. You know, I think this is still last year's NBA year, and Chris Middleton's an all-star important part of this organization. And, you know, he has an option coming up.
Craig, before we let you go, Chewy's daughter is going to the Taylor Swift show tonight in Chicago. Can you give him and our loyal listeners your official review of the Taylor Swift show that we went to in New Jersey last weekend?
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, it's 44 songs. I mean, think about that.
Mm,
44 songs. You know, and we're not talking about 44 songs that someone else wrote. You're first about 44 songs that someone has written. So the talent to do that, then the singing, the dancing, the costume changes, the speaking off the cuff, the control, the humility to give praise to everybody else besides herself. I mean, she is, I will say this, you know, if I look at the NFC North, as good as Justin Fields is, I think the best, most commanding leadership performance that will happen at Soldier Field will happen this weekend, and will not have. She will exceed any quarterback we see in terms of her dominance at Soldier Field this weekend.
Greg, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Can we somehow get this Karma song woven into the Craig Karmazin open on our show going
That's
forward?
Up to executive producer Ashton Rock.
I don't really like the song.
This one?
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's not one of her best.
Well, but okay, look, like this song.
One of her 44 best? Because she does play
one
it at
the one
show.
Of the top 44 for sure. Like this song, it just kind of flows. Where like when we get Friday, like Friday's a banger. Like, Friday gets the energy going. I don't think it's going to change.
Yeah, I agree. I could almost see Karma at the beginning of the Open, but then still going into the It's Friday, because it really does. Friday is a vibe.
What if we use it as your out song? We add an out song, like we are right now, where we just play it as we send you off into the weekend.
So
then you're suddenly telling me to get off and hang up. Okay,
I would
Craig, hold on.
I would like, we are never, never, never getting back together. Did I nail it?
Nailed it.
Yeah. I think there's a few more nevers than ever.
You remember when Chewy said he'd show up when he started doing the Daily Show, that he'd show up every once in a while on a Sunday for you, Craig?
Yes.
Still hasn't happened.
We are never, ever, ever. Ever back together.
Thanks,
have a great
Craig.
Weekend, everybody.
Later. Appreciate you. All right, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry. Have you guys tried Celsius energy drink yet? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? You're going to need that energy to get through this summer. You got a lot of things on your to-do list. Lots of parties to go to, time at the pool, outdoors and whatnot. Celsius energy drink is the essential energy drink that I choose to help me stay on top of it all. Graduation parties and all that stuff. You can find Celsius at your local Pick and Save store or online at Amazon.com. Celsius energy drink. Live fit. Lost cause, 'cause I've been through a lot. Really all I've got. JJ Watt seems to want a podcast. I think. He said he wants a podcast. Maybe he wants a podcast. He's been taking suggestions about what he would podcast about if, in fact, he had a podcast. I think JJ Watt gave us a little taste of that, and we are going to dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.